Amen. This is my song. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. All the
things.
Amen.
Thank you.
All the day.
I come to you this morning. Give all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who is certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Brother Mike Miller, Minister Riley, my lovely wife, my beautiful, beautiful church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and it's always an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to profess the Word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Remind us, dear Lord. Remind us, dear Lord, of that time when you rode in on a donkey. Remind us, dear Lord, of how the people celebrated, laid palms and their clothes down in front of you. Remind us, dear Lord, of how they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. How they call you King, how they call you Messiah.
Yes, yes.
Remind us, dear Lord, of within the week, the same people will shout,
yes,
crucify him. But remind us, Lord, how you came and laid down your life, that we may be saved. How they hung you on a cross.
Yes, yes.
How they put the thorn of a rose of thorns on the head.
Jesus.
Remind us, Lord, of all that you did to accomplish what we have today, the right to come to you, Lord, and we don't have to go through anyone now. We have direct access to Almighty God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. And Lord, right now we invite you into this place.
Yes, yes.
To take charge right now. Let your Holy Spirit just rest and rule from the pulpit to the pews, Lord God. And speak a word. Speak a word, Lord, that will pierce our hearts.
Yes.
And let us know that you're still in our corner. And that you're still in control.
Yes.
Speak a word, Lord. Speak a word, Lord, for someone needs to hear. Use me, Lord. Any way that you see fit, but speak a word. We call on you. We love you, Lord.
Yes, we do, Father.
It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bear with me this morning.
Take your time.
Get carried away.
Jesus, thank you.
It's when you think about God and what he's done for us. And if you let yourself go, you just get overwhelmed with the goodness of God.
Yes, yes. Yes, sir, God.
Palm Sunday. How fickle man is.
Yes.
God is a steady rock and
yes.
stays firm, although we go up and down in
Jesus.
All kinds of ways. Thank God. This morning, I ask for you, if you would, turn with me to the Gospel according to St. Matthew's, the 21st chapter. Start with verse 1. Reads thus. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the coat, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I want you just to focus, if you will, on that 10th verse. That 10th verse says, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Who is this? We will continue today with the super topic of profiting from prophecy. But for a subtopic this morning, we want to use set up to get up. Set up to get up. So what is Palm Sunday? And how would it possibly fit into this current series that we're on with, talking about profiting from prophecy? But when you look at Palm Sunday and the scripture that we've read, it's talking about this triumphant entry of Jesus when he came into Jerusalem on what we now know as Palm Sunday. It's the Sunday before Jesus was crucified, within the week. The story of this triumphant entry is one of the few incidences in the life of Jesus which you'll find in all four Gospels. Now, when you try to track Jesus' life, you'll find parts of it in all of the synoptic gospel. But very seldom do you find all four accounts in all four gospels. Mm-hmm. Now, this triumphant entry was a really significant event for the time, but for the people of Jesus' time, but it's also a significant event for us.
Yeah.
If we can understand what Jesus is trying to say to us, who is this? Who is this? You see, Jesus' purpose when he rode into Jerusalem was to make public his claim to be the Messiah. Mm-hmm. The King of Israel, and fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. You see, if you look back at Zechariah 9, you'll see where all of this is written, just like what you see being revealed by Jesus. He said, I come to fulfill what was written back then. And many skeptics will say, well, that's easy. Anybody could look back and read something and do what it says. But see, Jesus knew what it said because he was God.
Yes.
And Jesus said, but I want you to see that I'm doing what the Old Testament says so that you might understand.
Yes.
Don't miss what Jesus is trying to tell us this morning. But Matthew tells us that the king coming on the foal of a donkey was exactly what Zechariah 9:9 said. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a coat, the foal of a donkey. This morning in Sunday school, it suggested to us, as well as I am this morning, that Jesus chose deliberately to reveal himself in this manner.
Mm-hmm.
He revealed himself to the people of that time so that they would have no excuse for not understanding. And just as he revealed himself to them back then, he recorded it in the Old Testament so that those in the New Testament could see it.
Oh, yes.
Then he recorded it in the New Testament so that we could see it.
Mm-hmm.
The fulfillment in the New Testament of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So we certainly have no excuse.
No excuse.
Hallelujah. Briefly this morning, I want us to just try to profit from prophecy. There's the two ways I want us to profit from prophecy. Number one, that we can understand who Jesus is. Another way to put it is why God sent his son. And number two is to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes that the people did back then. Two very simple ways to profit from prophecy. Matthew 21:8 says, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? I ask you a question this morning. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know who Jesus is a, are you a fair weather Christian? You see, a lot of the people back then, some of the Jews, when they were shouting Hosanna, which translated means save. Now, many of them were thinking of what the Bible said in Psalms 118 when it says, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. See, a lot of us thinking that Jesus came to just to serve us.
That's right.
That Jesus came just to give us everything that we want.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He should be at our beck and call. Everything time I need something, I ought to be able to just to call on Jesus.
Yes.
So many of them became disenchanted when they found out that he didn't come bringing all that they expected.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Jesus is? You know, Jesus had spoken prior to this time, prior to his coming into Jerusalem, when he was at came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi.
Uh-huh.
Jesus had asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of God, am?
Yes, yes.
And some of them says, well, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some say that you are Elias, and others say you're Jeremiah, and or one of the other prophets. But Jesus said, but whom do you say that I am?
All right.
Mm.
That's what matters. Come on now.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Mm. Whom do you say that I am? Some preachers, oh, you've all heard them. You've all been in church part of your life. Some of you heard some preachers might say that he's the lily of the valley.
Ah, yeah.
That he's a bright and morning star.
Yeah.
He's a rose of Sharon.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My way out of no way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Calm in the midst of the storm. He's my rock.
My rock.
The great I am.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's what preachers call it. But whom do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that Jesus is?
Well.
Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Whom do you say that Jesus is? See, you can profess it with your mouth who you think Jesus is, but when you profess it with your mouth, anybody can profess with their mouth. Anybody can say anything that they feel like saying, but when you can confess out of your soul.
Confess.
Simon Peter said, thou art Christ. And he didn't say it. Simon Peter didn't say it, but the Holy Spirit rose up in it and said, I'm testifying that thou art Christ. So when Jesus can rise up in you and you can confess.
Hallelujah.
Who do you say he is?
Yes.
Don't matter who I say he is. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Matthew 16:20, when Simon Peter confessed who Christ was, and Jesus charged him. 16:20 said, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Yeah, I want to show you something this day. And either you get it, or you won't. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir, God.
You see, in this series, 2 Peter, we've been kind of guided by that. It told us that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. And, you know, you can't just run off and get it and make it say whatever fits your situation. But when God wrote it in his Bible, he had something in mind. He was trying to tell us something. There's no private interpretation. Hallelujah. Let me just digress a minute. And put in your mind what we talked about during this series. You might want to make a note of that. You should have it in your notes.
Yes.
But as we go through, we want to have purpose in our heart. We want to pray for understanding. We want to prepare for battle. And we want to depend on God's promise of protection and perfection. You see, when Jesus says to his disciples, "What I have done, tell no one."
Yes.
He gave these same instructions on several occasions. If you look in your Bible, when Jesus healed Jairus' daughter, some said she was dead, but Jesus said, "No, the maid is just asleep." And he said, "Arise." But and when she got up, he charged him. He said, "But tell no one what you've seen." Then when he healed the deaf man, he charged the same thing. But don't tell anybody what you have seen. When he cleansed the leper's spot, he told him, "But now you're cleansed, but don't tell anybody about me."
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
When he took Peter, James, and John with him to the Mount of Transfigurations, when they saw Jesus transfigured and looked like a light to them, but when they came down off of the mount, he said, "But don't tell anybody what you saw on the mount. Don't tell anybody what you experienced on the mount." Hallelujah. After Jesus healed the multitude that followed him. But he charged them and said, "But don't make anybody know who I am." And it sounds like an odd kind of charge. He said, "Don't tell anybody what you've seen. Don't tell anybody what you've heard." But what Jesus is trying to tell you, don't try to tell them what you hear, because when you hear something, when you repeat it, it might not be the same.
All right now.
And you can't trust all the time what you see. My mama used to tell me that just to trust only half of what you see and none of what you hear.
That's right.
What Jesus said to him, he said, "But what I want you to understand, but don't worry about what you see or what you hear," but he said, "But what you feel." Good God Almighty, on the inside, what gets into your soul, that part that you can't define, you can't explain it, but it's something on the inside that.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. God says, I know what I'm doing. I got an eternal plan. Listen to me here for a minute. You see, if you look down in Matthew 17 through 21, it kind of gives us a hint of what Jesus was talking about. He says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he set forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust.
All right, then.
God had a plan from the very beginning. He said, I know what I'm doing. He said, I know if the Jews don't reject me, then the Gentiles won't have any way of receiving me.
Come on now.
He said, if the branches are never broken off, we have nowhere to graft in. So God knew way back then what he was doing.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. He said, and what I want you to understand before you tell anybody anything, just be sure that the Spirit of God, the Son of God, has risen up in you.
All right.
Hallelujah. He said, because when you get it, you got it. And when you start to understand what God's plan is, when you start to listen, when you start to read, when you start to understand prophecy, when the Son of God starts to rise up in you, when you start to feel something on the inside, that's when you can tell that God is setting you up. He's getting you set up because he knows that if you can just hold on, then he's going to make you where you can get up.
Yes.
He's setting you up now. Hallelujah. God is setting you up right now. Hallelujah. Set up to get up. Set up to get up, no matter what situation you might find yourself in. He's setting you up to get you up.
Yes.
If you just let go let God have his way. Some of us spend so much time fighting. We spend so much time fighting the Holy Ghost. We won't let him take control of us. We just let go and let God have his way.
Yes,
sir,
God.
Set up to get up.
Uh-huh.
But some must say that I got myself in this situation. I know that I did wrong, but although I put myself in this mess, I can't get myself out of this mess. But I know God. He's setting you up right now. He said, if you just get ready and let go, he's setting you up to get you up out of all the mess that you put yourself in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then some say, I got circumstances that people don't understand. I got circumstances that other people are not in the same circumstances that I got.
All right.
Some say, I did all that I could. I tried to be as good as I could, but I find myself in a helpless situation or a helpless circumstance, but I know a God who can get you out of it if you just let him set you up.
Yes,
hallelujah. He'll set you up and then he'll get you up.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
He's the God of all your situations. He's the God over all of your circumstances.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Slow me down.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever seen a movie and you just like that movie?
Jesus.
And you see that movie time and time again. I'm like that with Die Hard and all that. But you see that movie and although you know it by heart, you can almost say every word that's in it, always through it, but it's something about that movie just gets you going, and you, you get excited every time you hear. Well, that's the way I am about this story here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, I haven't seen the movie, but I did read the book. Hallelujah. And if the movie's anything like the book, I can't wait. Good God Almighty.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, God, he gave us an advantage over other people. See, the people in the Bible didn't have what we got. We got an advantage. We already know how the story ends.
Yes.
If we would just profit from what God has already told us over and over again, we already know the end of the story.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. Sometimes we get caught up like, there's people, you know, other people watch a movie and some don't like to tell you they've seen you. And hadn't seen the movie. You know, some people sit there and tell you everything. They tell you everything that's going to happen,
that's right.
But they won't admit that they've seen the movie. Got some kind of crazy insight. That's the way we act sometimes. We act just like we've never read the book, or don't know what's going to happen, but we already know God has already shown us everything and all that we need to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I got another question for you. Yeah, I'm going to stop. I want to just ask you, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, the one who rode in on the foal of a donkey? What will you do with him? You know, when they cried to crucify him, that was another fellow that was in prison, Barabbas, that was in jail. And they had a choice. The king gave them a choice. You can release Jesus, or you can release Barabbas.
Yes, yes.
Who would you choose? What will you do with Jesus? Let me tell you what God is trying to show us this morning. See, when you choose Barabbas, that's you. When you choose to set yourself free, rather than letting Jesus go free, letting Jesus have his way, you're choosing Barabbas over Jesus. Will you honor and obey him, or will you crucify him?
All right, then.
You know, some people would rather see Jesus dead than controlling their lives. I'm going to say that again. You see, some people would rather see Jesus dead than controlling their lives. We want to do whatever we want to do. Go whichever way we want to go. So crucify him so that I can be whoever I want to be.
Yes.
You know, to some of us it seems that our time and our money and our stuff and our relationships and our pride is more important to us than Jesus. So crucify him. What will you do with Jesus? Don't make the same mistake that they did. You see what they did? They misunderstood prophecy when they read it. They misunderstood prophecy when they heard it.
All right, now.
They didn't recognize when they saw Jesus, when he healed the sick and when he raised the dead and when he cured blindness. They didn't see it. They didn't know what it was. Don't make the mistake that they did. When he revealed who he was, they missed the revelation.
All right, now. Hallelujah.
Don't miss the revelation. I'm gonna give you a definition, and I'm gonna go out. A revelation.
All right.
That's a divine or supernatural
disclosure
to humans of something relating to human existence or the world. Revelation, the divine or supernatural disclosure to humans of something relating to human existence or to the world. In other words, a revelation. When Christ rises up in you, a revelation, you didn't get it through your ears or your eyes or your intellect, but it was revealed to you when God showed you something that nobody else could do. I can't tell you, no one here can tell you, but God can disclose it to you. He reveals himself to you. So when he rises up in you, hallelujah. Matthew 21, 10 says, when he came into Jerusalem, into my soul, when he comes into you, when you let go and let him control you, when he came into Jerusalem and all the city was moved, when you get something on the inside that starts to move you and you can't control it, saying, who is this? I'm going to take some freedom here and I'm going to change this right of song. He says, what is this? But I said, who is this that I feel deep inside? And it keeps setting my soul on fire. I don't know who he is.
Yes.
But whoever he is, I just keep holding my peace.
Yes,
who is this? Some folk say I'm acting strange. Makes me want to run on in Jesus' name. I don't know who is this, but whoever he is,
whoever
I just can't
is.
Hold my peace. If you let God have his way in you, if you just let God just let go, let him take control. And some of those problems that you are having, some of those hard times that you can't get across, let go.
Let go.
Who is this? Hallelujah. Said it'll make you love your enemy.
Yes.
It's hard enough to love your friends, but when he can make you love your enemies, it won't let me be ashamed when I get a chance to testify who God is. He won't let me be ashamed to tell the world that I've been born again. Who is this?
Oh, God.
Makes me do right when I would do wrong.
Yes.
Who is this?
Yes.
When I'm down low,
yes,
he gives me a song to sing. Who is this?
Who is
I don't know. But whatever.
Whoever
he is,
uh-huh,
I just can't hold my peace.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Will you let him have his way?
Yes, sir.
This is Palm Sunday.
Yes,
who do you say Jesus is? Who is he to you? You might want to go away from this place.
Jesus.
And just ponder, who is he to you? What can he do for you?
Yes.
What can he get you out of? What can he get you over? Who do you say he is? If you allow him,
yes,
he has set you up, and now all you got to do is get up. Jesus has set you up to get up. You know all that you need to know. Don't let nobody tell you that. I got to learn something else. He's already died for you. He's already empowered you. He's already torn the veil, and he already gave you entrance to his throne.
Yes, sir, God.
You have no excuse. He set you up. Now all you got to do is get up.
Jesus.
Okay. I want to just read a